What is going on, man? It's your boy Crimson again. I had to make this video, dude. I'm getting sick of this shit from Ab and Preach milking the shit out of stuff and just condoning fucking just bullshittery. And I'll give you my story as to why, all right? And then you can come up with your own conclusion. Here's a video. It's not about Pearl. Don't worry about it. It's about what she said compared to. Well, you're gonna see. Watch.
Today, I am going to be reacting to Abin Preach's hit piece on me.
When you have a house, there's a lot of chores. There's a lot of shit to do around the house. A lot. And she works all day bringing that paper, that stack. And then she goes home, and she still got to do some work. It's gonna take a toll. And she doesn't feel like it's separated at work. Like she doesn't feel like the work is equally separated at home. It's going to be a burden. It's definitely going to be a burden.
And see, like, this is the thing. A lot of these reaction channels will try to nitpick. And they'll be like, well, if she's working, the chores are going to be hard. Guys, marriage is supposed to be hard. And I've told this story, like, many times on my channel, so I'm just going to tell it again. There's a relative of mine. And this relative was married for 50 years. And this woman did not believe in divorce. Like, it was just not an option in her book. And her husband actually left the family for another woman. And she prayed to God for a solution because that was her belief. She did not believe in divorce. So her husband leaves and the side chick died. He came home and she didn't throw it over his head. She asked where they went wrong in the marriage and how they could fix it. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of times people in our generation are so quick to throw in the towel. Like, people used to have their husbands go to war.
Is your idea of commitment saying married until death do us part to somebody who left you for another person? What? Fellas, if your wife leaves you for another woman and tries to get...
Yeah, he fucked that up. He meant if your wife leaves you for another man.
Get married with that person and they're together for a long time. And then the other man dies and she tried to come back. Are you a great husband for waiting? But you expect the woman to do that.
They would have called that man a whole ass cuck.
A simp.
A simp.
They would have called him Sneeko. Listen, Just Lonely Things over here, okay, without her man, okay, is telling you to wait lonely by yourself years for a husband who not coming home.
All right. Check this out. Let me see.
What are you fucking doing today, tomorrow, the next fucking day? That's why I don't listen to theorists. I don't listen to all that bullshit. I listen to a motherfucker who's like this, man. What's wrong, man? I'm fucking tired, dude. Why are you tired? Because tomorrow, I gotta do the fucking shit again, man. Whatever the shit is that made me fucking nauseous and sick to my stomach, it made me hurt. There's no ending. And that's the person I listen to. That's the person who's gained knowledge. You gain knowledge through suffering. And on the other end of suffering is a world that very few have ever seen. It's a beautiful world because that's where you find yourself. You don't find yourself in over here. You find yourself on the other end. Like the 100-mile race I was on, I ran it for 24 hours. I found myself on the other end of that What are you fucking doing?
Here's the other one.
I walked a mile. I said, maybe I can walk one more mile. Maybe I can walk another mile. At mile 81, my ex-wife looked at me and said, you're not going to make the time. When your mind knows it's not going to quit, and this is what I found out. This is my 40% rule. When your mind knows it's not going to quit, your body will adapt to whatever is in front of it. I ended up running 20 more miles. I did 101 miles in 19 hours and 6 minutes. And that one day changed that 19 hours. It wasn't SEAL training, it wasn't Ranger School, it wasn't Delta Force, it wasn't any of that crap I went through. It was this 19 hours and 6 minutes that forever changed my life. life to know that we as human beings are capable of anything. And we don't need any special kind of parents or tools to get there. So I end you with this. Don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. Thank you very much.
So there it is. It's interesting what the mindset will do. Right? Now, to all you men out there who took your girlfriend or your wife or whatever back, right? After she fucked around and you decided to give it another chance. I don't blame you for that, man. I don't. Because deep down inside, you were trying to do the right thing. You were trying to better the situation with a person that you cared about. And see, Ab and Preach, what they're telling you is to justify mediocrity. To justify, you know, the first initial feeling. And this is like predominantly what I'm trying to get other men to escape from. Stop the initial feeling. The initial feeling is always going to be fear, anger, resentment, guilt, shame, it could be disgust. It's definitely not going to be happiness. It's not going to be joy. But you're going to feel a wide variety, jealousy, you know, insecurity. You're going to feel it all. Heartbreak. But you got to push through all that shit to find what it is that you're trying to find. Right? That's exactly what I did. It's funny because I followed Abram Preach when I was homeless, right? To try and become a better person. Because in my mind, what I thought was the girl that I love so much left me, got engaged. She stopped the engagement. She did it for a reason. And I knew right away what that reason was because there was no motherfucker on planet Earth that was going to compare to me. I don't have $1 million. I don't have, a successful business anymore. I don't have that primal instinct to want to strive for more anymore. What I do have is content. What I do have is drive, and what I do have is a hard-working ethic. And I piled that on with other things. Listening, understanding, negotiating, getting to know. Getting to the underlining themes and problems underneath the initial argument immediately. And that took time. It took 3 to 4 years of me self-reflecting and working on myself so that when my ex came back, I had standards. I had self-dignity. I had boundaries. I had self-respect, acknowledging my shortcomings. When she came back, I was a completely different man. I was who I was and some. And now what they're telling you is that you're a dumbass for... Well, they didn't say that. I didn't watch the rest of the video. But judging from their reaction is like, you're expected with your initial feelings to just allow that to happen? You're expected to improve and sit there and wait? You know what, man? A lot of people do that, including some of the men on this platform. There's still men just still waiting. As a matter of fact, if you haven't heard from them in a while, and there's a lot of them, there's a lot of fucking dudes out there who you haven't heard from in a while. They went back to the plantation because they feel like now that I've learned what the red pill is, and they've unfortunately followed Rollo Tomasi and they followed all these other people, they learned what they had to, They learned what they had to and moved on with their life. You know, some in more positive ways than others. And so this is why I wanted to show you this message, is because when I was doing the Goggins shit, when I was homeless, I was pushing my boundaries to figure out who the fuck I was. And I realized that I was just a guy that was constantly trying to save people. And I was done with that. I was done with trying to, I focused my savior complex from women to men. And I held on to really toxic friendships for a very long, long time. Because I wanted a brotherhood. I wanted friendship and brotherhood beyond anything. I realized that I wasn't going to get that from a woman. From a woman's standpoint, depending on who the woman is, they want a provider and a protector. They don't really want somebody to spend the rest of their life with. They just want somebody to be there to handle the hard shit when they can't. And figuring this out, I formed and shaped myself to be a fucking a monster. Right? And here's the thing. It was all for naught. Because she didn't change. She started pursuing money and put her personality on hold. And she thought that money could fix everything. And as a matter of fact, I was daydreaming about this. The anima and the animus complex. Now, the reason why women have a dualistic mindset is because they have a dualistic personality. They don't trust men to do their job anymore. So they take on both of those roles because they don't trust men. My ex is a prime example of that. She didn't trust me. And so she always put my advice and me in the back burner while she listened to everybody else. If that sounds familiar to you, understand that that's what it was coming from. She no longer trusted any men in her life because her father was a failure, her ex-husband was a failure, her ex, you know, flings were a failure, and she expected me to be a failure. Because she picked a guy, you know, me, in a time when I was barely getting my life together. I was just getting off the streets, and she was trying to build a man. Doesn't work that way. I mean, it can, but it's not always successful. Because I was satisfied with the simple things in life. Waking up and enjoying a fucking sunrise. Enjoying a sunset before bedtime. After, you know, putting in a real good hard day's work and coming home and feeling satisfied. You know, coming home to a home-cooked meal and a clean home, that's just a bonus. Mastering something or doing something, completing something that benefits you, whether it be fixing your car, fixing your home, those are real accomplishments. Doing something that's outside of your skill level and completing it is something that can build you. And what Ab and Preach are doing here is they're trying to tell you to accept the initial feeling in mediocrity. To accept your first primal instinct. You know, it is unfair for both parties to, you know, to come home and only one person is doing all the work. Right? And then, here's the thing. If you start to look at it from a matter of perspective, then that immediately contradicts it. And in my judgment, as soon as it contradicts it, you need to go to the ladder. And here's what that looks like. I got a friend of mine. He's blind. And he's married to a wife. And she works. She cleans. She cooks. She doesn't always clean and cook. Sometimes they go out and they do stuff. But she hustles. And you could tell she's just tired. Tired of life, tired of doing shit. As a matter of fact, the last time I saw her, she looked really defeated. I gave her a hug, and I said, "How you feeling?" And she's like, "Good." She kind of looked down at the floor, and I said, "No, you're not. I could tell you're not." And she just looked at me and she's like, yeah, I really don't. It's because she had to make a sacrifice because of what she had to do to maintain the home. But do you want to know how everybody else reveres her as? Men like me, men like him, you know, the guy married to his wife, my buddy. We champion her. She's the fucking strongest woman on planet Earth. She's taking care of a fucking blind guy while simultaneously taking care of her home. That's what fucking success looks like. To me, at least. That's what a successful marriage looks like. And then if you fast forward, if you change the situation to a guy who can see but is crippled, it would be more or less the same thing. At least the guy can help out with dishes. Sure, fine. At least he could help out, take out the trash. Sure, fine. That's what my buddy does. You know, he's blind, but he does what he can. He brings in money doing mentorship. You know, he goes over the phone and he does a few, what is it? Life coaching kind of things, right? He brings home a little bit. I mean, in my judgment, it's sufficient. Now, if you fast forward, or excuse me, if you change the situation yet again, if it's a full-fledged work, like, guy who can, you know, he's got great working legs, great fucking, you know, physique, and all he does is just go to work and come home, yeah, you can help. But if you change the situation yet once more, if it's a woman who's not working, you kind of expect her to do at least some kind of chores around the house. The bare basics. Cooking, cleaning, washing. We all got to pull our weight around this world. But I just wanted to show you guys this, is that this is what's being peddled in our society, is mediocrity. Never pushing beyond your boundaries. Never pushing beyond your comfort zone. Never taking the time to look at the second, you know, at the second window of opinion. Only taking the first initial feeling and protesting with that first initial feeling. I can't tell you how many times I look back at the shit that I've done and I think to myself, that was fucking embarrassing. There was another way to do that. There was another way to handle it. There was another way to solve the situation. There's another way to do things in life. There was another way to handle things. There was another perspective to look at it. And I always regret those feelings. So what do? I don't react on my first initial feeling now. Except, you know, when it comes to violence. Violence, you can't really fucking... Dude, it's very difficult to negotiate your way out of that. But when it comes to arguments, when it comes to disagreements, when it comes... I never let the first initial feeling take over. There's an underlying feeling there that needs to be addressed. And that's why I get upset when I try to calm things down. People don't, you know, they just want to vent, and I let them vent, and then when it comes time to address the situation from an adult standpoint, they continue venting over me. And it's just like, dude, I'm trying to de-escalate this and get to the actual bottom, to get to the problem. I don't want to hear it. Like, I've already heard you the first time. Now you're just emotionally spewing onto me. I'm not your punching bag. But this is what Abbott and Preach has been doing. They've been preaching to you to better your life, better yourself, to gain listening skills, to be, what was it, emotionally aware? Emotionally in tune or intuitive or some shit. I can't remember the word. But it has to deal with being able to understand the situation. from an emotional standpoint. Emotionally aware, I think, is the word. Emotionally intelligent. That's the one. They want you to be emotionally intelligent. They want you to be smart enough to make the right move. They want you to do all this shit and then simultaneously contradicting themselves and putting none of those things into practice and just going with your first initial feeling of unfairness. How many times have we seen people get promoted that shouldn't be promoted over us? How many times have you put in overtime just to get a no thanks? Just to go to the fucking HR department and then they're fucking questioning you, why did you put in so much overtime? And you're trying to explain to them, look, man, this is what needed to be done to get the job done. Okay, but you put in overtime. And they don't want to hear anything else. Why wasn't this or that or the other done on time? Why do I have to pay you overtime? And you're trying to explain to them the reason why you guys have to pay me overtime was because I was the only one that stayed to make sure that everything got out on time. Everything got done on time. Everything got cleaned on time. Everything got, you know, overlooked and oversaw properly on time. Because nobody else was going to do it. How many times have you been put in a situation where you're being, you know, questioned as to, you know, why you got home late? When you're just trying to make a little bit of extra cash for the home, or while you're trying to do all this other stuff. Like, those situations are extremely unfair. And what Abbott and Preacher trying to tell you is, like, you need to be spiritually and emotionally intelligent, and emotionally aware, and you need to have better communication skills. And it sounds to me like if you keep making the same decision, or excuse me, if the same key decisions and the key outcomes keep reoccurring in your life, there's a common denominator between all those, correct? And it's something that you need to self-reflect and blah, 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 blah. And then the moment, right? The moment you try to put all that into practice, suddenly you're the idiot. You're the cuck. You're the dumbass. They're talking out of two sides of their fucking mouths. And this is why I just stopped fucking listening to them. This is why I stopped giving a shit about their opinions anymore. This is why I stopped listening to them. It's a drama. It's just drama now. How many times have they been talking about pearly things now? Just 2, 3, 4 fucking videos in a row. And you're just, it's just like, dude, when are you going to move on? Destiny is out there putting the exact same poison into everybody else's ear. And they're doing nothing about it. Rollo Tomasi is doing the exact same shit, doing nothing about it. And this is why I don't accept that anymore. I don't accept that anymore. Failure. I remember my uncle told me, like, don't quit because they told you to, or because they're pressuring you. Quit because they fired you. Then you can quit. Quit when they fucking tell you to get off the team. Like, just put in 100%, whatever you can. And if it's not enough, at least you know that it was enough instead of walking away because they're telling you to. Because then you'll never know if it was because of you or if it was because of them. At least when they kick you out, at least you know you put in 110%. At least you know you tried. There was a story on Terrence Pop's channel. A guy submitted a story, and he said that they fired him for no reason. I've been there. False accusation. And then they fire you, and you feel like shit. And it doesn't matter how many years go by, you always look back at that job and you're like, these motherfuckers, dude. It's like, whatever, dude, I don't want to get into that job. My point is that accepting mediocrity and not putting in 110% is what's causing the fucking the problem that we're in right now. Because self-awareness will make you aware of everything else. You'll be able to understand the doublespeak that we're talking in this modern America. The doublespeak that we're all experiencing don't say anything that won't provoke anything. Right? And this romantic idealized thought that we all have is like, back then we used to just be men and talk about and do whatever the fuck we used to want to, you know, do and say whatever we wanted to do. Like some men picture Mad Men, like, you know, that old ass TV show where guys got to smoke and drink on the job and just talk shit. Those are just few circles. It wasn't everywhere. It was just a few circles. This was like soon after Prohibition. So the generation was different back then. You know, they were all celebrating, you know, not having to fucking hide a whiskey bottle underneath their fucking desk anymore. Having to go to a speakeasy in order to, like, COVID, right? We all went to our fucking speakeasies. Front door was closed, but the back door was open, and cops knew about it, and they just turned around and walked away. And this is... Damn, dude. That dude's wife is fucking huge upstairs. I don't know if you heard that, but goddamn. So my point is this. Whenever I hear Rolo giving you double-sided advice like that, whenever you fucking see Abin preach, just, it feels like I'm going through an emotional roller coaster with them now. One day I go from like, yeah, dude, you're absolutely right, to what the fuck is this? Like, you know, they tell people to self-improve, and then when they self-improve, they make fun of you for the way that you self-improve. I can't tell you how many fucking guys I know that go back to their exes, myself included, trying to give it another go, trying to fucking change, trying to make things better, trying to fucking, you know, but how about this? Maybe you didn't go back to your ex. Maybe you dated somebody who was just like her. Maybe you'd married another chick that was just like her. Second, third, fourth, fifth failed marriages. Because you tried to make it better. You tried to change. You tried to, like what Pop and Blake said that one night. You tried to reenact that time period in your life to try to fix it. Right? Try to fix it in your head. Then there's that subtle realization like, oh, fuck, I'm trying to relive something that I can only fix if I were to go back into the old relationship. Happens every time. It happened to me. Well, excuse me. I knew that I needed to lay off the fucking pussy, the pussy chasing. I knew that I needed to focus on just myself and fix myself. If she were to ever to come back, I would already be in a position to be in a relationship. I would have changed all the things that I thought were upsetting her. You know. But again, I'm just sick of the fucking hypocrisy here. I'm sick of fucking seeing good men being demonized like that, being made fun of, being, you know. I mean, and here's the thing, they're going to walk it back. They're going to say, hey, oh, by the way, you know, if you decided to do that, hey, man, that's on you. You try to do good. You try to do that. But if you didn't react on your first initial feeling the way like this, it's like, yeah, dude, everybody's going to fucking react that way. No shit. Especially about chores. You know, chores are a very common reason why a lot of fucking women decide to fucking call it quits, believe it or not. Because they think, like, fuck, we should be rich enough by now, you know, in this 10-year marriage to afford a fucking servant. I hear it all the time, man. You know, when I'm at a coffee shop or when I'm standing somewhere and two chicks are talking, I always hear comparisons about their lives. What something one has that the other one doesn't. And that's how they throw compliments at each other, these chicks. Oh, I love that your husband has a cook or a chef or a weekend babysitter. That's so nice. It's just like, why are you comparing your lives to each other? The fact that you're married is a monument, especially in this day and age, is a monumental fucking stride forward. And that's just the bare minimum. Instead of trying to build on that, they're trying to compare it and contrast, and then they go home feeling unfucking satisfied. Like, we could be doing better. We could be doing more. There is something better. There is something more out there. I got a couple guys that looked at me that I would consider as a prospect. You know, the guy who walked into the 7-Eleven sagging his pants looked at this chick and goes, "Damn, girl, you looking fine." And this girl's just like, "Thank you." Like, inside her fucking $1 trillion Escalade. And of course, the guy's not thinking like, oh, her husband paid for that. He's thinking like, damn, I would fuck that regardless if she was married or not. And I bet when she went home, she fucking thought about considering that dude as a prospect for marriage, for procreating. I hear it and see it all the time, man. It's just, we've accepted mediocrity in our culture. And none of us want to call it out anymore because it's just so commonplace. None of us want to go the distance. None of us want to push forward. None of us want to go harder. We just want to accept the easy shit in front of us. I don't know, man. I can tell that over time I'm just going to start giving up. I can already tell. Because I'm pumping out video after video after video doing this. Whether it lands on your ears or not. Whether you take the time to listen to all 30 minutes or not. Over time. I mean, this country's already done. And that's slowly, that feeling that I have is slowly permeating into other things in my life. Other belief systems that I have. And I gotta tell you, dude, it's hard to fight it. Because I'm looking at a country that literally changed overnight. Idealizing and worshiping shit that is just mediocrity, dude. I can understand if you want me to accept your lifestyle. I can understand that. No, I'm not going to accept it. But the fact that you want me to accept it, that is in the gift right there. The fact that you thought about me as accepting your fucking, you know, particular lifestyle, or excuse me, not yours, but their particular lifestyle of, you know, calling them different shit and accepting, you know, their imagery changing, I can accept that. Am I going to participate in it? No. And you bet your fucking ass I'm sick and tired of fucking seeing it paraded everywhere I go. I'm sick and tired of hearing it being championed everywhere I go. I'm sick and tired of it being propagandized against me. It's disgusting. Because the very people that told you stop putting Christianity into schools are the very same people that are now shoving this culture into your face. Which just goes to show you, they don't want what you want. They want what they want. So we capitulated. We took fucking Christianity out of our schools, and now look. They replaced it with something else, like a chess move. So no, I don't give a fuck anymore what they want. They can go fuck themselves. Any case, that's just my two cents. Guard your heart.